ask you to raise your hand, so I won't do that, but I will ask you to think about it for a minute. How many of you worry about things? You worry about things. You know, the idea of worrying is that it's sort of like if you had a hole in a piece of fabric and you kept rubbing on it and rubbing on it and rubbing on it and rubbing on it and rubbing on it to try to maybe make it go away. You don't make it go away, you make it bigger. And that's what worry does to us. Worry doesn't solve the problem, it makes it bigger. And if we admit it, it's very likely that some of us have a problem with this, and it's not out of line to say probably all of us worry more than we should. There's a phrase that in Matthew chapter 6, and I'll show you some exciting things about this. It's in this chapter about half a dozen times, three or four at least. In verse 25, he says, take no thought for your life. In verse 27, he says, which of you by taking thought? He says in verse 31, take no thought. He says in verse 34, take therefore no thought. And you say, well, what does that mean, take no thought? I actually just looked up all the times in the Bible where it talks about taking thought, because somebody that's not willing to be a student of the Bible might think that means don't think about things. For example, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Someone might say, oh, see, we're not supposed to plan ahead. No, the Bible says that you count the cost before you do something. Planning ahead is definitely important. Now listen to me, don't miss this. Taking thought means to be worried. I'll show you some examples. Just some other verses. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, he talks about caring, and that's the same word. In Philippians 4:6, he says, be careful. It's the same word. He says, don't be careful. Be careful for nothing is what he says there. Be careful for nothing. Another good one here. Oh, in Luke chapter 10, when Martha was busy in the kitchen when Mary was listening to Jesus, Jesus said to her, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. It's the same word as take no thought. So just want you to understand, when he says take no thought, he doesn't mean not to think about it. What he means is don't worry about things. Now, here's this little illustration, if you can remember it, would hopefully help you a lot. If one of my little children back, I don't know, my children are all grown now, but back when they were 7 or 8 years old, if one of my little children in the second or third grade came to me and said, Dad, I have to pay $1 for a field trip, and I'm really worried about where I'm going to get that dollar. I'm really worried because I have to pay $1 for this field trip, and I'm really worried, where am I going to get a dollar? And if I said, don't worry about it, what am I saying? I'm going to take care of it. Now, if they said, oh, thanks, Dad, but I'm really worried about this, and I said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And then they said, oh, no, I'm really worried about it. At some point in time, they don't believe me, do they? Right? I want to ask you, look at me. Do you believe God? You see, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 says, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. But there's another word there. It's the word therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you want to find out what it's there for, somebody said. And therefore, in verse 34, points us back to verse 33, which is a promise. Now, this promise explains why some of us worry. Because this is a conditional promise. And here's what he says. Look at verse 33 with me. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, we'll talk about that in a minute, shall be added unto you. All these things. Now, the things he's talking about are things like in verse 31, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Where are you going to get clothes? And he says in verse 32, all these things do the Gentiles seek. Listen to me, look at me. Don't think of anything else except this for a minute. Did God promise to take care of you? Yes. Amen? Do you remember the Hebrew children in the wilderness for 40 years? Why did they have to spend 40 years in the wilderness? Why? It was only less than a two-week journey by foot from Egypt to the promised land. They could have gotten there in 2 weeks. It took them over 40 years. Why? Because they didn't believe God would give them the land. In other words, God said, I've given you the land. Just take it. And they sent the spies in. The spies came back with the big grapes, and the spies came back with reports of how great the land was. And then they said, but there's giants in the land. By the way, there weren't very many giants in the land. They were exaggerating. They said, there's no way we can take this land. And the people listened to the 10 spies that didn't believe. And God said, since you don't believe me, I'm going to let you wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and the next generation will get the land. And they wandered until every one of them died. Undoubtedly, they could have had the land, but they didn't believe. Do you believe God? Please don't doubt God. That's like calling him a liar. So they wandered for 40 years, and in their disobedience, think about this now. They get up every morning, 6 days a week, and they go a little ways, and they stop. And they stay there for a while, and then a few days later they get up, and they go a little ways, and they stop. And they wander around, aimlessly, pointlessly, not accomplishing anything. We'd call it wasting time. Pointless effort that got them nothing. Why? Because they didn't believe God. But the Bible says their shoes didn't wear out. And you know what? They weren't starving. They didn't have filet mignon every night for dinner. They ate a whole lot of manna, which was this bread-like thing. But they didn't starve. They didn't go without water. 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Even though they didn't believe God, he still took care of them. But what could he have done if they'd have believed him? Now, let's move forward about 3,000 years, a little more. What could God do if we believed him? What could God do if we believed him? Amen? What will God do if we don't believe him? Not nearly so much, but he will take care of you. Matthew chapter 6 has a therefore, and the therefore points back to verse 33. He gives us a priority. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I had come in tonight before reading this verse to you and given you all a piece of paper and said, write down three things that you are seeking. I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted a job. I got a job at Dairy Queen. I think my starting wage in 1974 may have been $1.25 an hour. Now, I will grant you, back then gas was about 40 cents a gallon. Something like that. $1 and something an hour. And I'd go to Dairy Queen every night, and I'd work for $1.25 an hour. Well, I think I got a raise to $1.40. Wow. I'd work. I'd go home from school. Sometimes I'd go from school straight to work. I'd work until 11 or 12 at night, and then I'd go back home and sleep and go to school and go back to work. And I might have made $20 or $30 a week, which was enough to put the gas in my car to drive back and forth to Dairy Queen and a little more. I had a priority. I wanted something. I wanted money. And I sacrificed a lot for that. A lot of the teenagers think, if I had a little money, I'd be happy. You know what? That doesn't work. If people thought I was important or whatever, oh, that doesn't work either. What should we seek? If you were to write on your list, here's the things I'm seeking. Someone says, well, I'm looking for a new house, or I'm looking for a new job, or I'm looking for... And it's good to want a new job or a new house or whatever if it's in God's will. But what's first? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit blunt. You can seek the kingdom of God by going out and looking for children for vacation Bible school. Amen? Amen. You say, what would happen If everyone here came out Saturday morning, first of all, you need to call an ambulance because I'm going to have a heart attack. Not really. But I am going to be stressed out because I'm not going to have that many maps ready. But if everybody here came out Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and we had 25 teams that could go out, we could do the entire apartment complex, the entire neighborhood in one day. And then we could go further. We did two-thirds, probably half, maybe two-thirds of the trailer court last night. If we'd had two more teams, we could have done the whole thing. Folks, where are our priorities? And you see, here's the combination, okay? He says in verse 34, therefore, take therefore no thought. And here's what he's saying. If you will put God and the kingdom of God and his righteousness at the top of your list, then the rest of the stuff you probably would have had up there, God's going to take care of. You got some things that you need. You got some things that you want. I'm not going to tell you God's going to give you all a brand new car, a brand new house, and a brand new this and that. But God can make you happy, which is better than a brand new car and a brand new house and a brand new this or that. And he will meet your needs. Now, he may meet your needs in a certain extent anyway, like he did the Hebrew children. But again, the question is, how much more could God do if we believed him? Do you believe him? All right, here I'm going to read it to you again. He says in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here's the promise, all these things shall be added unto you. I can just hear somebody now, a teenager perhaps, going to their boss. I've seen this happen, by the way. It happened in Utah. This girl got a job, and they wanted her to work on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And she was going to work in a grocery store. If you've done this, I have nothing against you, but there is a job which involves taking the meat off the chicken bones. And they take the meat off the chicken bones by hand, and then they get the meat and they make things out of it. And that was going to be her job. Yeah. And they were going to pay her minimum wage for that. Okay. And she went to the people and she said, I'm sorry, but I can't work on Wednesday night and Sunday night. I've got to be in church. And she didn't say these words, but what she said was, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know the end of the story. I haven't even got to tell you. They said, I'm sorry, you can't work here. She got a better job for more money that let her go to church, and she didn't have to bone chickens. But, you know, that's the way God works. He gives you a chance to make the decision, and then he does his part. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. The very thing you were working for, it may sound ludicrous, but you say, and listen, find God's will. You say, I'm sorry, but I can't work here because it conflicts with my serving God. And you turn your back on that. And God says, I'll meet those needs and bless you in other ways as well. Amen? Okay, real quick. I've only got a few minutes. Just think about this with me. Take no thought. It means the same thing as be careful for nothing. Full of care, anxious, desire to obtain, concerned. We use the word worried. It used to mean harass or bother, because when we worry about things, it bothers us. And why shouldn't we worry? Real quick. First of all, because it affects our service for God. Look at verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon comes from the word mammary. It has to do with substance, with materials, needs even, appetites being satisfied by certain things. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. I can ask the question, but I can't make it clear enough maybe. Who are you going to serve? Oh, that's not the good question. What are you going to serve? God or something else. Amen? If you just decided, I'm going to serve God, you made the right decision. If you decide, I'm going to serve money, I'm going to serve wealth, I'm going to serve fame, I'm going to serve entertainment, I'm going to serve pleasure, I'm going to serve myself, not the same thing. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. You've got to pick the one that you're going to be loyal to. And the one to pick is God. Why should we take no thought? Because when we begin to worry about where things are going to come from, we start to serve that and we stop serving God. And you can't serve both. Jesus said so. Somebody says, oh, I can. Well, you call Jesus a liar. I don't believe that, but okay, whatever you think, okay? So the first reason is it affects our service for God. That's one of the reasons you should take no thought. Secondly, it ignores the evidence. I've already shown you some, but look at this. Look at verse 26. Jesus is telling these folks, he's preaching. This is actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, behold. He said, look, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. You've never seen a bird driving a tractor, have you? Never seen a bird building a barn, have you? They build nests and then they get rid of them after a while. It says, behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they neither do they reap, they don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Where'd that bird get his food? From God. So I told you this story. My cat caught a rabbit. Cat's walking across the porch with the rabbit in his mouth. This morning he caught a prairie dog. I had to let that one go. I was kind of worried about the rabbit because I knew the cat would catch the rabbit again. And so I put the rabbit in a cage and I found out something. Rabbits love spinach. If you need to feed a rabbit, feed him spinach. They like hay, but they like spinach a whole lot more. He's not as fond of carrots, but he'll eat them, and he likes apples a little bit. I'm not going to keep this rabbit. I'm going to get rid of this rabbit. But I thought to myself, where should I let this rabbit go? Yeah, I want to put him someplace where he can get something to eat. So I found a spot over in our subdivision. There's this little, it's a green space. It's between two rows of houses. It's nothing but grass, and they got water sprinklers back there. I'm thinking that rabbit's going to like that, and probably tonight, if we get around to it, if not tomorrow night, I'm going to take the rabbit over there and let the rabbit go in the green space, and the rabbit's going to eat. But I'm a little bit presumptuous there. You know what? God feeds the rabbits. Amen? God feeds the birds. And what did Jesus say there? Just listen to the words. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, do you think God doesn't love you more than a bird? Amen? If you think God loves you more than a bird, say amen. Amen. He feeds the birds. He says, oh, pastor, if I didn't work, it'd be terrible. I wouldn't have this and I wouldn't have that. And I'm not saying don't work. The Bible says we got to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. But I am saying you don't make that more important than serving God. And now, if he can feed the birds, he can feed you, can't he? So I haven't seen a lot of starving birds. I know it happens once in a while. That's not the point. I know a lot of them are doing just fine. In fact, all the birds on my roof are really fat. And I wish they'd go to other guys' roof and not my roof. But anyway, God feeds the birds. Don't ignore the evidence. God takes care of all the birds. He can take care of us. So why shouldn't we worry? It affects our service for God. It ignores the evidence. Now, this is the best one. It doesn't do any good to worry. It doesn't do any good. I know when we came in here tonight, I can see it on your face sometime. Some of you had some things you're concerned about. I get concerned about things that I shouldn't. If I would have said, write down what you're concerned about, what you're taking thought for, what you're caring about, what you're worried about, if you'd have been honest, you could have written some things down. You might be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You might be worried about what the government's going to do. Oh, good luck with that one. You might be worried about your health. You might be worried about, I don't know, fill in the blank. What does God want in my life? If you're looking for God's will, he'll show it to you, by the way. But here's the thing about worrying. It doesn't do any good. Here's the illustration that he gives here. He says in verse 27, which of you by taking thought, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? When I was in high school, I was short. Maybe somebody here, they think that they'd like to be taller. You can worry as much as you want. It won't make you any taller. I'm really worried, Pastor. I'm not tall enough. You're wasting your time, aren't you? Didn't make any difference. There are some things you can change. Height is not one of them. God's the one that controls that. So you say, I'm worried about it. Which of you by worrying can grow taller? But don't you see, who makes you the height you are? God. Who can meet your needs? Who will meet your needs? God. Who can make you happy more than you can make you happy? God. Amen? Pretty clear. If you worry, it affects your service for God because now you've got divided allegiance. It ignores the evidence because God feeds the birds. It doesn't do any good. You can't make yourself any taller. There's two or three more, but I'll just kind of finish up with this. He says in verse 32, all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. And that word things, again, he's just talking about food and raiment and clothing and things that you need to get through life. He talks about Solomon in verse 29 and how he was arrayed in wonderful clothing and God did that. But think about this. We have responsibilities. You say, what are my responsibilities, Pastor? Well, he tells you right here in verse 33 that you're responsible for seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a responsibility. When I was in the Army, we'd go out and we would train and we would do all sorts of training and we would set up a perimeter and we had to do things when you set up a perimeter and we had to dig foxholes and we had to set up range cards and things like that. And there were tasks that we had to do. And then the wonderful thing is, three times a day, literally, some guys would show up and feed us. So my troops, my soldiers, there were about 30 of us all together, we didn't have to stop doing our job and go look for food. We knew there's somebody that's going to take care of us and bring us food. Now, in occasion, they couldn't find us, but God can find you. Don't worry about that. And sure enough, it'd be breakfast time, and there they'd be. And it was pretty good food. It wasn't always great, but it was filling, and it was tasty, and that was fine. And three times a day, they'd show up, they'd feed us, and we'd go back, and we'd train. Sometimes we'd eat sea rations. That was some stuff in cans, and not nearly as good as the stuff they'd bring us. But the point is this. It was our responsibility to do our job, and then they took responsibility for taking care of us and feeding us. If our boots wore out, they gave us new boots. If our uniform was damaged, they gave us a new uniform, and they took care of us. Don't you think God's going to take care of you? So God says, here's your job. Now, I'll take care of you. And when you say, no, I don't trust God to take care of me, I better do that. You take your eyes off your job and worry about taking care of yourself. You're not doing your responsibilities. You say, does that make any difference? Let me be brutally honest. People die and go to hell because of that. I can't help but think, it's a sad illustration, but I'll mention it anyway. I wonder how many of those children in Uvalde were saved. I wonder if those staff members were saved. I wonder if the Christian churches that have the gospel in Uvalde went to those people and told them how to be saved. They needed to hear that, didn't they? You say, well, Pastor, I got my whole life to get saved. Yeah, about 20-something people thought that in Uvalde. I'm sorry what happened. It grieves and breaks my heart. I can't imagine the suffering. But folks, you don't know what tomorrow holds. We need to be busy doing God's work. And if the promise is right here, if you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. If my little child came to me and said, Dad, I'm so worried. I've got to have a dollar for this field trip. And I don't know where I'm going to get it. And I'm just so worried about it. The minute I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Why would I say that? I would say that because I want them to stop worrying and relax. And can I provide a dollar? Sure. To them, it might be a lot of money. Not to me. Can God meet your needs? To you, it may be big. It's not very big to God. He spoke and created the heavens and the earth. I think he can meet our needs. Seek ye first. Take no thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Don't worry. Now just quick. I'm trying to show in these last few weeks on Wednesday nights is how to have a good life. Folks, one of the things that destroys people's lives is worrying. They worry about things. And I've told you before, I think worry is a little trigger in our head to say that's something we ought to pray about. Give it to God. Amen? Be careful, same exact word, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you really do trust God, if you really do trust God, you can stop worrying, can't you? Well, we probably need to hear this message about once a week, don't we? Sometimes we forget. At least you heard it tonight. Take no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Tomorrow's going to come, and when it gets here, God will be there waiting. And take care of you. Amen? So you got enough to deal with today. And if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that you're worried about will be added to you. God will take care of you. You got a choice. You can say, I don't know. I don't know if God's going to give me what I need or what I want. I think I'll take care of myself. Or you can say, I think I'll do what God said and see what he can do in return. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.